Hebrews 4:14. So I know a lot of these scriptures, a lot of us read a lot, but it's always good to listen again. Amen? So Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Now, as we know, if you've been around here at any length of time, you know that this is to hold fast our profession. It's not a confession of sins. It's not a negative, "Oh, I've done this wrong, I've done that wrong, I've done this wrong." It's a confession or profession, a confession of, "I am a child of God, I am healed." It's that type of confession. And you know, it's also based on homologia, which is to say the same thing as God. Amen? But that word, to hold fast, if you look at it in Hebrew, it means to have power, to be powerful or to get possession of, to become master of. So you got to be master of your confession. You got to know what you're saying. You got to make sure you know what you're saying, what you're saying is right. It also means to lay hands on one. Don't lay hands on something. Like if I got hold fast to my wife and lay hands on her, not in a bad way, but it's to hold fast. It's also in order to get him into one's power. I thought was kind of interesting. This is according to Strong's. So it's to hold fast and not to discard or to let go. And that's why he says to hold fast our confession. Because sometimes it's easy. The first day you're going through something, you go to church on Sunday, pastor preaches a good word, you're all excited, and then Monday morning comes. The excitement. It's not as much. And then Tuesday, you're at work, and the excitement is even less. You know, that's why the word, I believe, says that we have to be being filled, because unfortunately we leak, right? You know, so we have to hold fast our confession and make sure that no matter what happens, we keep hold of our confession. I love it. And Hebrews 10:23 is, "Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering." It's our faith. So I have to know what I'm believing. I can't hold fast Kathy's confession. I can come in prayer with agreement with her, right? Or if you're married, you know what it's like. If you say something wrong, you'll get, "Why are you saying that?" Because she does that to me. So what's awesome about being married to somebody like that, right, is that you get the check with each other. But I can't hold fast her confession. She has to hold fast hers. I have to hold fast mine. You have to hold fast yours. We can come together in agreement, but I can't live on your confession, and you can't live on my confession, amen? It's our confession. You have to believe what you're saying, and that's the thing. You have to believe the words coming out of your mouth. You have to believe the word of God that you're saying in your life. Let's go look at a couple scriptures here, which I know we know. Habakkuk 2:4 says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So how is righteousness of God revealed on earth? The just shall live by faith, right? Then 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by what we see, not by the appearance, not by this our sense knowledge, not by those things that are around us, not by those things that that try and sway us, but we have to walk by faith. Now, I like the fact that Hebrews 11:1-3 says, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." We have to understand that faith is now, right? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, I love the part where it says, "For we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." We have to realize that as the worlds were framed by the word of God, so our world is framed by the word of God that we speak. Because the just, say, "I'm just, and I live by faith." So the world was framed by the word of God. So we have to realize that your world is framed by the words that you speak. So hopefully, as believers, we're speaking the word of God, right? You know, I love it because I think it's Charles Capp that says, if you look at it, God spoke, then God saw. God spoke, then God saw. In Genesis 1, he says, let there be light. Then he says, it is good. He spoke, then he saw. He spoke, and then he saw. Now, it doesn't happen as fast for us as it does for God. But, you know, that's okay, you know. But we got to realize that as we go forth, we realize that as we keep our confession based on the word of God, our lives will change, right? We know that we have to walk according to the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith comes by hearing the word of God. So if we walk by faith, or we walk by hearing the word of God, then that means as a believer, we are to walk by the word of God, or by believing the word of God. Because the word of God is the word of God, but I have to walk when I believe the word of God. So that means we can go back to Habakkuk 2:4 and say, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his believing the word of God. If we're the just, we should be walking by believing the word of God, right? Okay? Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by believing the word of God. So what it comes down to is if we're holding fast our confession and we realize that we go and we get a report from the doctor that says a certain thing, what does the just live by? Believing the word of God. What does the word of God say? By his stripes I am healed. Right? We're all human. We all go through trials. We all go through reports, whether it be finances, whether it be medical report, whether it be bad news from something. We live by believing the word of God, right? You get a bad report because you're getting laid off from work. Is he your peace or is he not? Is he your provider or is he not? So we got to make sure we hold fast to the confession that he's going to look after me, whether I'm working at where I'm working or whether I get laid off tomorrow. He's still my God. He's going to help me if I'm giving and sowing and I'm believing the word of God and I'm doing what the word of God says. It does not matter if milk is $3.50 for a 3-liter bag or if it's gone up to $6 for a 3-liter bag. Is he still not your provider? Right? Because it can be challenging. And that's what we're going to look at a couple of things about holding fast our confession. And I have to watch myself. You go to a store and it's like, milk's gone up again. And she's like, so? Be quiet. No. But, right, we have to watch. We have to hold fast our confession or our profession of faith. Is he your provider or is he not? Right? When you cut yourself or your finger and you're bleeding for healing, is he your healer or is he not? You know, I remember we were out, we were doing something at the church in London years ago. We were doing something, and I remember I hit my finger with a hammer. Bang! It hurt. And didn't even swear. I was actually surprised myself, you know. But, you know, and it was sitting there. And we had gone out, and it swelled, and it was black and swollen. And I was like, he bore my pain, he bore my pain, he bore my pain. Isaiah 53 says that he bore my pain, he bore my pain. We were out with another couple that night. We were, like, playing cards, and I'm, like, rubbing my hand. So I'm probably waiting for her. No, I'm only kidding. But I was rubbing my hand, and I remember Doris looks at me. She goes, you should not be able to do that. I said, what do you mean? She goes, your pain, your fingers, because it's swelled up and what it is, and the pressure's there. She goes, you should be in so much pain naturally, you should not be able to do that. And it was like, it didn't bother me. I can't even remember if the nail came off. A couple of days later, it went down. But, it, like, the pain, like, it hurt for maybe 20 minutes, and then that was it, you know? And it's like, he bore my pain. That's what it says in Isaiah 53. Now, I'm not perfect. Because there are times when I do that, and the pain's still there 3 days later, and I have to hold fast to my confession. Well, I didn't bang my finger with a hammer that time. But you know what I mean? There are times that the word works. But we have to realize it as we go. So we have to realize that we have to live according to what we believe, what the Word says. So as we hold fast our confession, we got to realize that we are believing God's Word, and our confession is that it has to be based on the Word. When we confess the Word, we sow a seed into the kingdom. Luke 8:11. Let's go on to Luke 8 for a second. 11. Because we have to hold fast our confession. Sometimes it's easy to let go of your confession. It's easy to let go, you know. And it's like, I remember time over the years, you know, like I think the pastor said, or somebody said it the other day. Well, you know, sometimes you wake up and you don't always feel saved. You don't always feel, woke up and I feel like I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what you feel like. What was your confession? Right? Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. That's how we get saved. That's how we enter into the kingdom of God. So why do we think that everything else after that does not work by the same way? Because how do we get saved? You make a confession based on believing the Word of God. Somebody said to you, do you know that Jesus died for you and that the Father loves you? He wants to come and reconcile himself to mankind. And all of us at one point said, okay, Lord, I'll call you Lord. Believe in my heart, confess in my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you shall be saved. Done. I woke up. Well, I remember I got saved. That morning I was like, crying and everything. You know, and that night I'm like, I have to go back to church. You know, I didn't want to go back to church, but I did. I didn't feel, you know, when pastor shares, you know, he's like, the grass was greener and the skies were bluer. And I felt awesome when I got saved for half an hour. I got home and I felt the same, right? There was a peace that was, you know, but it wasn't like some people that get saved, they're all excited for like months. I guess I leaked out all the way home or something. I don't know. Because I was like, next Sunday, it's like, okay. But now, you know, but that changed. But I didn't have to get born again. I didn't the next Sunday, I got to get born again. Well, you got born again last week. Just because you don't feel like he's your Lord, or you don't feel like you're saved, or you don't feel like all exciting about coming to church, but I'm tired. Well, if you got born again because you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart Jesus Christ is Lord, you're saved. So, but, you know, like I know I've talked to other believers, and you say, well, the Word says this. You got to live by the Word. That confession stuff. Well, how'd you get saved? By confession. Like I said, why do we think it changes after we get saved? God suddenly changes his mind. Okay, we're going to do everything different now. The kingdom of God works this way, but now it's going to work something different. It's all the same principle. So, because when we do a confession of the Word, we sow a seed into the kingdom. So Luke 8, around verse 11, says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. We have to say what God says to plant a seed. The seed is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. The seed is the Word. So if you need something to change in your life, you need to plant a seed into change your world. The world was framed by the Word of God. So how do you change that? By the kingdom, by planting the Word of God into your life. By his stripes, I am healed. Psalm 23, that he is my protector, Jehovah Jireh. Find a word, find a scripture that you can plant into your life if you want to change your circumstance. I know my wife was going through something, but I always share because, you know, she's there. She's cute and she lets me. No, I don't. No. But I remember a while back she was having a problem sleeping. And so the pastor called it out, something about sleeping. So she came up, she prayed for him. Or he prayed for her. And so the next morning I said, how'd you sleep? She was same as I did before. I was like, oh. But she kept confessing. Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep. Psalm 8, I think it is, or wherever it is. And after about 4 or 5 days, I said, how'd you sleep? She was really good. I said, yeah, she was. My body caught up to my confession. I was like, I really like that. She said, I know what the Word says. Pastor prayed for me, and I believe that. And it planted a seed. She goes, but my body caught up to my confession. I was like, I like the way you said that, honey. That was kind of neat. Because everything that we have from the Word of God, whether it be healing, prosperity, everything has to start on the inside through your spirit man. Amen? And it has to come forth. So how do we do that? We have to release the seed because the seed is the Word of God. So we have to release it to our life. So in Mark 4:26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed to the ground. So the kingdom of God is how we sow a seed. We cast seed to the ground by what we say. We speak things out. We say these things to plant the seed in our life. Romans 10:8 says, Luke 17:6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He also talks about, and one of the other things, about speaking to a mountain, and it should be cast to the sea. I like this. I was reading the other day, and I heard that. It says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and I've heard, you know, because mustard seed is really, really small, but it actually makes a good-sized tree that birds can plant in it. But I also heard, I think it was Charles Capps, says that a mustard seed cannot be cross-pollinated. I don't know that much about gardening, but I know that example he gave, and I've heard this from other guys I know that grow peppers, is if you have like a hot pepper plant beside another plant, it can get cross-pollinated. So you can almost get like a green pepper, take a bite, and it could actually be spicy because it gets cross-pollinated from the jalapeno pepper or the, what's the other one there, one of those hot peppers. But a mustard seed is always a mustard seed. A mustard will never cross-pollinate. And I like that. I thought that was an amazing example. Because your seed needs to be pure according to the Word of God. Can't be mixed. I believe God, but. But what? Everything after the but changes what was said before the but. You have to believe God, period. What does the Word say, right? You know? So Romans 10:8 says, but what does it say? The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the Word of faith that we preach. So the Word is near you. I love it because it says it's in your mouth and in your heart. So we have to get the Word into us, and then we have to speak it out and then plant the seed into our life. But we have to make sure we do not change our confession. We have to hold fast to the confession we have. Even if it's blamed for something and a year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, we have to make sure we stand with our confession. We confessed that we were going to be mortgage-free for 15 years. And then we became mortgage-free. You know, we confess it. Now, even with our confession, we did things like we paid our mortgage. Oh, that makes sense. Well, you got to believe the Word of God, but you got to do things too. You got to put action to your faith. But the amazing thing was that what I was supposed to be our mortgage was like 25 years. We did something and it went down to 17 years. And these are just things that I learned because they were natural things. But at that time, I learned it because of somebody in the Word of God that taught me this, taught us these things. But then we saw things supernaturally increase in our mortgage payments, supernaturally. And it was awesome because a couple times ago, somebody was like, oh, we're getting paid. You know, we knew we were going to have a layoff of work temporary for a couple of months. Somebody goes, oh, what are you going to do? So I just paid off my mortgage. And you're like, what? I was like, God's my provider. Well, I was going to say Bombardier, but Alstom is my seed bag. It's not my provider. My job is not my provider. I'm not her provider. She's not my provider. God is my provider. The seed bag that he's using right now for us is Alstom. That might be the seed bag, but that's not my provider. So because I know that I have peace, the world doesn't always understand. So if I get laid off from work, it doesn't matter. My circumstance with us might change, but the provision does not, right? So then we got to realize that there's power in his word. Hebrews 1, 2-3 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, right? He framed the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, even though it sounds almost the same, the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It says the word of his power. So my understanding, if you look at English, is because the focus is not on the power. The focus is on the word. Because that's where the power is, in the word. The word is what brings power. The word is what will change your life. Amen. The word is what will change circumstances around you. And that's what I think is exciting, because there's DNA power in his word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It still becomes flesh as we speak these things out. Amen. So we got to realize that as we hold fast to our confession, we have to realize that when we speak, it places a seed into our kingdom, places a seed into the word, into the world, into our future, into our life. So we got to make sure that we speak the word. We're not to be silent Christians. I don't mean preaching out there. I mean just speaking in the circumstances, you know, speaking these things out. David spoke 5 different things, I think it was, before he cut off. He said, I'm going to cut off your head. I'm going to, you know, do these things. But he spoke it out. And then he cut off his head. He didn't even go out with a sword. But he said, I'm going to cut off your head. He didn't even have a sword. He had a slingshot. Hit Goliath, knocked him down. Then he picked up Goliath's sword and cut off his head. That's like bold from a youth. But he understood the covenant, which is the word of God, is the covenant, right? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this guy who does not have a covenant speaking against God? That's what, like, upset him. He's like, you're speaking, he's uncircumcised. He's, like, looking at his brothers, the army, the king. Who is this uncircumcised? Who is this fellow who does not have a covenant? What is he doing? Why are we as believers letting those without the covenant affect our lives? They can affect the world around us, but they are to not affect our peace. They're not to affect our circumstances. We have to deal with them. Like, don't get me wrong, we can't go hide, you know, hide in a box and not do things. But the world could fall down around you, and we have to stand according to the word of God. Amen? We have to stand according to the word of God. John 1:1-3 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And it's exciting because everything was made by the word. Now, Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Doesn't say the voice of God. They hearken unto the voice of his word. When you speak, they'll hearken unto the voice of his word when it comes out of your mouth. Because it does not say they hearken unto the voice of God. They hearken unto the voice of his word. So what are we saying as believers? Are we speaking the word over our lives? Are we speaking the word over our marriages? Are we speaking the word over our church? Are we speaking the word over the city? Are we speaking the word over our children? That's why I love it when Pastor prays. This city is going to be a city of peace. This city is going to be a city of refuge. Oh, look at it out there. I don't care what it looks like. What does the word say? What are we believing? Right? I forget who it is. One of those old time guys. It's a John Wesley or somebody. He said, God will not move unless a man prays. Because he's not allowed to. God cannot move in the earth until we speak. He needs a door to move in this world. Because when he created it, he said to Adam, all this dominion is yours. All of it. And what did Adam do? He submitted to Satan. So now what the Corinthians says, that Satan is now the god of this world. So God cannot just walk in and move unless we speak the word. That's why it's so important as believers for us to pray and to speak the word. Because prayer is just a confession, right? When you pray according to the word, you're praying a confession. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that my marriage is strong. I thank you, Lord, that our children are serving you. Hallelujah. Well, they're not. That doesn't matter. I believe what the word says. Amen. Raise your children up the way of the Lord. When they fall, they won't fall far. Right? Get a word on the situation. You know? When we came up here, Lord used the word. People say, well, you know. And I was like, I remember thinking about coming up here, and I was reading, promotion does not come from the east, the west, or the south. It comes from God. I was like, that's a strange word. Lord said, yeah. Read it again. Promotion does not come from the east, the west, or the south. It comes from God. God must be north. So I moved to Northern Ontario. I did not know there was anything past Sault Ste. Marie. When we moved up here. First time we drove up here, we were still living down there. We come up to see her parents. I'm like, there's something past Sault Ste. Marie. There's a whole country past Sault Ste. Marie. All of Ontario and all the provinces. It's a big, if you ever don't know how big this province is, go for a drive. You hear people in Europe, I drive 3 hours and I'm in another country, another 2 hours, I'm in another country. I drove 15 hours, I'm still in Ontario. But I'm still here. No. So we got to realize that the power is in his word. So we have to speak it out. We have to hold fast our confession. We have to watch what we say because Jesus spoke only in the word and he is the word. I know Vanessa, I know we were talking, but I think she shared with the kids about you have to be careful about what is around you because it can affect what you say, right? That's why I think in Proverbs it says that there's safety with godly wisdom around you. Many counselors, godly counselors. Don't go asking people who you should marry if you don't know who they are. Like, you know what I mean? Like all the girls, like I said, we have a lot of nieces and stuff, even nephews. They go ask marriage advice to the single ladies. Why? Why do you ask marriage advice to your single? Go ask marriage advice to your aunt who's been married for 28 years. To your other aunt who's been married for 30 years. Go ask them for marriage advice. Don't ask the one you went to school with who's still single. What do you think about getting married? Oh, I think it's a good idea. Why haven't you done it? But, you know. But you know what I mean? We got to make sure we get into what the word says about marriage. What does the word say about marriage? It says a lot, you know? So, but we got to realize that we have to make sure we realize that the power in his word, we got to speak the word, make it out. We have to make sure that we meditate on the word. And we have to continue to renew our minds. Romans 12:1 says, be transformed or conformed to this world, conformed like a convict. Confined, don't be trapped, don't your mindset be trapped by this world, but be transformed, moved forward by the word of God, by the washing of the word, right? When you first get saved, you might not know anything about the word. Most of us don't. Then we get saved, but then as we grow, and we come to church, and we get into teaching tapes, we get into teaching, not even CDs anymore, MP3s, you know, and live streaming. And streaming stuff. But even that, you have to be careful what you listen to. Even those other things that are Christian, right? You got to find something that believe that you understand what you believe. So we have to make sure we meditate on the word. I'm just going to go to Joshua 10 for a second. And read this a long time ago. And I think it's kind of exciting. Joshua 10. This is when Joshua was going to battle. And there was five kings after him. It says, wherefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, unto Param, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Debar, king of Eglon, saying, and then they were going to do all this stuff there. But I think it's kind of neat because God tells them how to defeat these five kings. What I think is interesting, because I like the Old Testament and I like names, is what the five kings' names are. Adonai Zedek means king of righteousness, like Melchizedek, but it's a false righteousness. I don't need God. I'm good enough as I am. It's a false righteousness. What are you building in your life? That's why you got to hold fast your confession. We have to be confident of who we are in him, but realize that we need him, right? Because there's people that think, well, I don't need God because, you know, whatever. We have to make sure we don't have a false sense of righteousness. I am righteous. I can come right up to the throne of grace. I can come and sit on my daddy's lap. I don't have to be shy about coming into the prayer room. I don't have to be shy about approaching the Almighty God because of what he's done, not because of what I've done. So we got to make sure we don't have a false sense of righteousness. Hoham means uncertainty, specifically in a covenant. We got to make sure that we are certain in our covenant. Make sure we know what the word of God says, right? Paran means running wild, like sowing your wild oats, but it also is based in confusion. Why are we confused? We got to make sure we're not confused with what the word of God says. Whether it be finances, whether it be your healing, whether it be your deliverance, whether it be whatever, we got to make sure we are not uncertain about what God wants to do in our lives. Because if you're uncertain, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It says that the wind or the waves are tossed back and forth. The waves are moved because they're influenced by, I think, the moon. and influenced by different things. We've got to make sure that we are not influenced by something outside. By his stripes I'm healed. Oh, I don't like what the doctor's going to say. By his stripes I'm healed. I don't like what the doctor's going to say. If we're like this, we will get nothing from the Lord. Yes, we knew a lady who was going to a Word of Faith church, and we were new at it, coming and going for prayer and doing all this stuff, and it looked like she was excited and really good. Then she'd go back to her church and start making her funeral arrangements because she had had a cancer report. And the pastor at the Word of Faith church says, you need to be stable in what you're doing. Either you think God's going to heal you or carry on and do that. But if you're coming here, you need to make sure you don't go there and start, because you're opposite two different sides. And not to say, because I've done the same thing in the past about certain things, right? We got to make sure that we are certain in our covenant. Jaffa means lament ourselves, or to mourn, or to be mournful. Oh, nothing ever happens to me. My marriage sucks. Oh, right? But what's the Word of God say? Oh, what do you mean I gotta love her? Lay my life down for her. She doesn't do nothing for me. Right? Mourn, lament, complain. Right? We gotta defeat that. Right? Or for whatever it is. You know, it doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't say do this if she does that. The Bible says lay your life down for her and love her. That's what it says to the husband. But what about? Doesn't matter what. She, Lord will deal with her. We have to deal with us, right? Like for yourself. Like I had, not that I was ever doing that. That's just the example that came. I love you, baby. But you know, we got to make sure that we don't lament. Oh, woe is me. I'm believing God, but I got no money in the wallet. I'm believing God about my bank accounts. Oh, the bills are coming in. Well, it's like being uncertain, back and forth, and we're lamenting and mourning, right? We got to make sure we say, thank you, Lord, that in him I am redeemed. In him I have strength. In him I have, you know, whatever it is that you need. And the last one, debar, means the gift of words to subdue, or to, not subdue, it's like to build a shrine. We have to be careful what we're saying. And these are I just thought it was kind of interesting that the five kings that Joshua had to defeat going into the promised land are all, their names are all based on a word pattern. You know, it's like there's seven different words that I forgot to print it out. There's seven different words for praise. Seven different words for praise. Five of them are based on a confession. If you look at them, one means to exclaim who he is. One is to shout about a testimony. Praising God for what he's done. Well, he hasn't done nothing yet. Well, praise him for what he's done, right? We have to realize that the biggest thing is we have to hold fast our confession, because those around us are watching us, right? It doesn't mean, you know, people say, well, what if you're lying? It was dark when God said light be. Was God lying? No, light came. When I was not serving him and going around, and I went out for prayer, and I said, Lord, I'll make you Lord. You know, confess of my sins, make you Lord. At that moment, it changed. Because 2 minutes before that, I was different. Doesn't mean I was a liar, but it changed. The confession changed my life, right? So we have to make sure that we meditate on the word and defeat those things and make sure we speak what God wants us to speak. I love it in Matthew 6:27. It says, which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, take no thought, saying, he's talking to his disciples, he's telling them, and they're saying, what about, you know, they're about worrying about this, and what are we going to eat? He says, take no thought, saying. So how do we take thought? We say, right? So the other side of that is, if you believe in the word of God, and you have that thought, then say it. Thank you, Lord, that my bills are paid. Thank you, Lord, that I have a good job. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to graduate. Thank you, Lord, I'm a straight-A student. Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is you need. Because you can take a thought saying, what shall we eat? What are we going to do? If you're going to say something, you might as well say the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to pay my bills. Thank you, Lord, that this is my last $5, but I'm going to sow into your kingdom, Father, because I believe that Luke 6:38 says, if you give, it shall give him back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Right? Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter what the doctor says. Thank you, Lord. Like I said, when I went to the, what do you call it? Colonoscopy? Whatever it was, years ago. And the guy is like, afterwards, we're doing the follow-up. And he's like, do you have a problem eating bread? And I'm like, nope. Not me. I eat whatever I want. He goes, oh, because he goes, you have, no, sorry, celiac disease, which is a bad aversion to gluten, I guess. I'm like, oh. He goes, what do you eat? I said, whatever I want. Like, I eat bread. It's like, it's funny because he said, well, it's there, but I got no symptoms of it. It hasn't bothered me. That was like 5 years ago, and I still eat bread. I don't eat a lot because of the health things about it. So she makes bread. But I don't sit there and make sure everything I eat is gluten-free. Not, there's nothing against it if you do. I don't, and it doesn't bother me. It's just because, I don't know, because it doesn't matter what the doctor said. And you don't take that the wrong way. I go to the doctor, and I like my doctor. You know, Luke was a doctor. The guy wrote the book of Luke, so it's okay to go to doctors. But it's like, don't sit there and get caught up and worrisome about what somebody says, whether it be the doctor, your accountant, your banker, your pharmacist, your teacher, right? What do you say? What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says you can renew your mind according to the Word. If you want to be a straight-A student, then just study. Study the Word. And study your stuff. Like, you can't just sit on the couch and do nothing all day. But believe, because the Bible says that, you know, when something comes against you, the Holy Spirit will draw things out of you and speak it forth. So it's neat. Don't be concerned if you're going to, you know, have to go for a job interview. If you're believing for a job, then just do the best you can, but believe God. Thank you, Lord, for the promotion. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that promotion comes from you. Thank you, Lord. You know, so we got to make sure that we hold fast to the confession of what God has for us. Amen? We got to make sure we get rid of uncertainty in our lives, just sowing wild oats in the sense of just saying whatever we want to say. We have to be careful. The Bible teaches that God told Joshua to meditate day and night on the word. Mutter it over and over and over and over and over again. We have to make sure we meditate and mutter what the Word of God says. Not what our circumstances are. Not what, you know, your mom says. Not what, you know, Auntie whatever says. I know somebody got healed, but. What's the but? Right? You know, just take what he is and fight your own fight. It's your confession. Amen? What do you say? We have to know his will. Mark Hankins says, the word was spoken so it could be written, and then it was written so it could be spoken. Right? The word of God is there, so it's the word of God. But so we need to speak out. We need to release it on the earth. We need to plant it into the kingdom. We need to release it, not just out there for them, but we need to release it into our own lives. Right? What are we, like I said, I am one of those guys that have sticky notes if we're going through things. Being unemployed and realizing Deuteronomy 8:18 says, he gives me the ability or the power, the talent to get wealth, to expand your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. As I was looking through the one ads, thank you, Lord. Your word says that you give me a job. Thank you, Lord, that your word says. And did it happen overnight? No. We went through a not a rough year, but our first come up here because we knew God told us to come up here. So we come up here working part-time, doing minimum wage. And I tell you, that first year and a half, couple of years we were up here, it was rough in some ways. There were times when I was like, if I didn't know for the fact that I know God told us to come, I would have packed up and went back, which wouldn't have done me any good because I quit my job. I had no guarantee I would have got it back, you know, but we came up here and I have somebody tell me like, why are you here? I said, well, my wife's up here. God told me to come here. What? I said, God, this city is important. God called me here. No. Never mind. But, you know, it's kind of neat when you think, where is this church doing and what is it doing and where is it going? When you figure, you look at the leadership of this church, Pastor and Miss Nia started the church, the one associate pastor is from Saskatoon or somewhere out in Saskatchewan, the other associate pastor, by both of them came through Rainbow, the other one's from Newfoundland. Then, you know, there's other people that came here from other places I've talked to. It's like, God is doing something here, amen? Yes. He is doing something in this city. Yes. We're not the only church here, but he's doing something here through us for this city, amen? Yes. And are we going to continue to believe that this is a city of peace? and that this city is going to be a refuge. And then we're going to come into agreement, and Pastor prays that. And yes, thank you, Lord, that this is a city of peace, a city of refuge, and that we can walk out and lay a seed, not just for our lives, but for those that are out there as well. But we have to know what his will is in order to speak it. The enemy doesn't want the seed planted because it'll affect the way you speak, and what you speak will affect control over your life. You need to have control of your life. You are what you are right now because of what you said in the past. And what you say tomorrow will be who you are next week. Everything starts with the word. Everything. Everything starts with the word. We bought our house. It started with a word. I think we're going to move to Thunder Bay. We talked about it. Lord spoke to us. I think we're going to buy a house. Let's go look at a house. We talked about it. We didn't just show up there and, there's a house. It's like, honey, I think, what do you want? Do you like this house? Do you want this house? We're going to, even we bought a rental property, driving by, it was an open house. Let's just go in. Started with a word. We spoke to each other. Seems, but everything starts with the word. But then there's the vision. Even if, like, if you're building, you have a vision of the blueprint and everything. And here's, like, I know Joe was building his house years ago, and he's like, there's my house. It's on a piece of paper. It's not built yet. He didn't put a hole in the ground. But he goes, there's my house. There's my life. It's not built yet. Might not even be a hole in the ground yet. But there's my life. There's my prosperity. There's my healing. There's my deliverance. There's my salvation. There's my favor. There's the blessings of God in my life. There's my marriage. You know what I mean? Like, to think about it like an architect. In somebody's mind, the house was already there. Now it's manifested. And it took time. But everything starts with the word. Amen? I like this in Matthew 8:3. Let's close with this. This is the leper. He's coming out, and verse 2. Can you go back to verse 2 for a second? It says, behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Nobody had ever been healed of leprosy in the New Testament at this point. So he had no idea. He knew God. He knew Jesus was healing people. He probably heard. He was going around healing people. But he went up and said, Lord, if you can heal me, if you will, you can heal me. If you will, you can heal me. And so it's kind of neat. The next one says that Jesus put forth his hand, touched him. Nothing's happened. Here's the man walking the earth with the fullness of the anointing, touched him. Nothing happened. Woman with the issue of blood touched him. Healing flowed. He was just walking through. She would have drawn the anointing. Here, because she said, if I may touch his clothes. She said, I may touch his clothes. He doesn't know the will of God at this point. Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me of leprosy. Puts his hand on him. Nothing happens. As soon as he said, I'm willing, bang, healing came. Because now he knew the will of God. If you're willing, you make me heal. Willing, boom, healing. Healing came. Healing came. He received, because he knew what the will of God in his mind was, yep. And healing came. We have to make sure we know what the will of God is and realize that if we don't know what the will of God, if we don't know the will of God, we'll never receive what he has for us. We have to know what the will of God is for our life. I can't tell you what the will of God is for your life. We can talk about general things, but the Bible never says in there, Kathy's going to marry David. I didn't find that anywhere. But God spoke to us both, right? The same thing, I was going to close with this one last scripture. I like this. Isaiah 48. When you do these things, it will come to pass. Thou hast heard. See all this? Will you not declare it? See all the word. Will you not declare it? I have showed you these new things from this time, even hidden things. You didn't know. They didn't know about salvation then. They didn't know about the new covenant. Hidden things. Next verse. They are created now. Not from the beginning. I thought God finished creating after 6 days and he was done. It says here, when you declare things, they are created now. You need a new kidney? They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them. Behold, I knew them. They are created now. He's talking to a prophet. You do something, it's created now. When you speak it out, when you declare it, it's created now. Not from the beginning. Because it says, I always used to think, God did 6 days of creation, he was done. It doesn't say that. It says that he's speaking to a prophet. When you speak things out, when you declare these things, these hidden things, find out what the will of God is, speak them out, and they'll be created in your life now. Right? Now. And that's an amazing thing. They will happen. They are created now. God didn't finish creating in Genesis. He still creates now. One example is like I said at the beginning, is your salvation. Thank you, Lord. Confess my sins. Call you Lord. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's a new thing created now. You get saved tonight. It's created now. You know, and it's amazing how we think God finished creating 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. Things are created day by day by day. He is the creator. That's who he is. But we need to declare the things that we find in the Word of God. Amen? We need to declare whether you're free from diabetes, free from cancer, free from heart disease, whether you need a new job. That job, I believe my job was created when I was doing my confessions. And I was looking through the want ads because he told me I would be working there. And I was like, oh, but it was like 5 years. We did the thing. Like Lord told me so. One time, we were like, oh, Joshua, so we drove around the block, drove around the building. Thank the Lord, I claimed that, claimed that, claimed that. And then I finally got a call. Come in for an interview. And then it was like another year after that. And then the girl finally phoned and said to Kathy one day, why does your husband keep calling? She said, well, because there's a guy there, can't remember his name, said that there was a job for him. And that guy left, went back to another plant, and totally forgot about me. She says, yeah, she goes, well, we might have something. Tell him to come in Monday. And so I went in Monday. It was the only guy who showed up Monday. It's like, oh, perfect. That job was created for me, I believe, because I declared from the beginning, that's where my job's supposed to be. I think you're crazy. Well, the Word says I'm a peculiar person, so that's okay. You know? So remember, hold fast to your confession. Know what the Word says. Make sure you're not confused. Make sure you understand. Don't just go saying things. Take every thought captive. And it says, right, don't speak out those things. So it doesn't matter what your family says. It does not matter. I remember when I first got saved, my mom was saved, but she had a different understanding of the Word than me in some things. And I remember reading this. I was like, Mom, look what the Word says. Well, you know, this happened to Grandma. But the Bible says this. So it doesn't matter, like Brother Hagin says, you got to make sure you don't look at men's traditions, right? We got to make sure we follow what the Word says. Make sure that you have it, you meditate on it, and then hold fast during confession. Because it, as it says in Hebrews, according to Strong, there will be power in that and that holding on. And don't let go. It doesn't matter what comes against you, amen? We got to make sure we don't let go of what the Word says. Got to hold fast it. So even when you're exciting, excited, I'm happy. You wake up tomorrow, still be excited and still be happy because of what the Word says. Amen? You stand, get ready to go. So remember, the next few days, I'm not sure when they're coming back, but just keep Pastor Nita and Pastor Steve in prayer and a safe trip that he comes back refreshed. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come here and receive what you have for us. And we thank you, Lord, that even as we go forth, that we realize that what your Word says is who we are. We are what your Word says, and we have what your Word says. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can continue, Lord, to hold fast to the confession of what we find in the Word. For it is a mirror, Paul says. Let us remember what we see in it. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that as we go forth, that anybody here who does not know you has a chance, Lord, to confess you as Lord and to come to just speak out what you have and that they can come into a proper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you leave, I just want to, if that is you, I'm just going to take a quick confession, but everybody repeat it. And then if you say it for the first time, see me or Pastor Ken or one of the ushers, we'll get a little book for you. Say, Father, I'd just like to thank you that your Son came for me. I confess him as Lord, and I thank you for a new life. And I'd just like to thank you that as I go forth, that I will be changed and be made new. In Jesus' name, amen.